was understanding sound doctrine and right division. We went into how you can have sound doctrine, you can have false doctrine, all that good stuff, where right division is extremely important. Well, I started to look, what else is important to me? What else helps me in my own walk? And that would be biblical prophecy, right? That's something that helps me to be grounded and firm in my faith, in my walk. As I had said a little last time, you know, I came into Christianity, biblical Bible believing Christianity, through the dark side, so to say, coming to find out that there is a battle between good and evil, as in the book of Ephesians, as we see, right? And I came to see the dark side of the world first, and then I was looking for the light, amen, as we all have did in our journeys, and I found it through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I started to see everything going on in the world today is all biblical, everything. It all leads back to the scriptures. So I wanted to hit a little bit on prophecy today, some current events. You know, I'm sure you guys all see the world is pretty hectic. But again, that should strengthen you in your walk. You should see that things happening today aren't just out of random coincidence. It's all biblical, tying back to the Word of God. So we have prophecy. Prophecy is defined as, by the 1828 Webster's Dictionary, a foretelling, a prediction, a declaration of something to come. So when you're seeing Bible prophecy, right, everything in the King James 1611 Holy Bible is given to us by God, right? It's a love letter from God, not to scare us but to prepare us, right? You should be prepared. You should be able to see the signs of the times and everything going on around us, and it should have you honed in like, okay, I see that the season that we're living in. I see this day and age. I see everyone around us falling away, going the opposite way. I'm going to try to go forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you want to start out in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 to 21, here's just a little layout what we're going to be going over. But essentially, there are three points in the Word of God that we're going to be hitting on. And first we'll jump to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 in the Word of God states, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So right there we see that prophecy, again, you know, a lot of people like to say that the Bible is just, you know, a book of fairy tales written by men, but they always leave out that it was inspired by God. These men had inspiration, they were indwelled with the Holy Spirit, and they were able to give forth what we have today, right? That's important to pick up, that everything in this book is prophetic, and it's important, and then God has it in here for a reason, to help us, right? So the first point, right here, prophecy will show God's sovereignty, right? If y'all want to turn over to Isaiah chapter 46, we're going to be going over verses 9 and 10. Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10, we see that prophecy shows God's sovereignty. Isaiah chapter 46, verses 9 and 10. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. God alone can declare the end from the beginning, right? He is the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the Alpha and Omega. He knows, he's outside of time. And that's something that a lot of people in our human understanding, we neglect to really pick that up. He's outside of time. He can see everything that is going to come to fruition, right? And to understand that God is sovereign, that he's... trustworthy God. He's all just. He's all knowing, right? And everything that he does, he's good enough to give us his word, right? He wants to help us in our walk. He wants us to know the truth. And again, that comes down to every person, whether you accept it or reject it, that is your own free will choice, right? But God, whether you reject it or accept it, God is still sovereign. Whether if you don't want to believe it and you don't want to pick it up and run with it, okay, that's your choice. That's your free will. That does not make God not sovereign, though. Something to hold on to. Bible prophecy that validates Scripture, right? So if you turn to John chapter 13, verse 19, let's see the next scripture here. John chapter 13, verse 19. John 13, 19. John 13, verse 19. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, that ye may, ye may believe that I am he, right? Jesus said that prophecy will build your faith, that fulfilled prophecy proves the reliability of his word, right? Again, a lot of people today, the God of this world, Satan, right? He wants you to be confused. He's the author of confusion. So what's the opposite of confusion? Knowing God's word, being staunch, being in your grounded in God's word. Satan wants you to be confused, but God wants to build your faith. He gives you the truth. He gives you the layout for what's going on. The question comes down to, do you believe it and accept it or not, right? God wants to give you his word to give prophecy that will show that his word is true and that it's all coming to fruition and that you can rely upon his word. Understanding Bible prophecy, it encourages watchfulness and hope. If y'all want to turn to Titus chapter 2, verse 13, we'll see what the scriptures say about encouraging watchfulness and hope. Understanding Bible prophecy and the layout of God's word should encourage watchfulness, especially when you're looking at the days and hour that we're living in. Everything is getting dark, but at the end of the day, if you're comparing it with Scripture, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ should shine even brighter. You see the world's getting dark? Well, there is only one hope, amen? The Lord Jesus Christ. Titus chapter 2, verse 13 states, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Prophecy should motivate us to be watchful, to have hope, to as this world's getting darker, right there, you can either stick with the ways of the world and continue to go down and plunge into the depths and depravity of man, and just you have no hope. That's what this world has. I mean, think about it. On the boob tube, what they're telling you on the television every day, they're always instilling fear. They're always instilling, there's no hope. There's nothing to look forward to. What do we got to do? We just got to turn it on the next day. And, you get more fear propaganda. You get more, there's no hope in any of that. I'm sure all you guys can pick that up, that they run off of fear. They don't want you to have hope. The Word of God is the complete opposite. Especially, that's what I'm saying, when you start to look into prophecy, when you start to see that this book, it isn't just a book. It's alive, amen? And it is God's word, God's truth. He is bringing it to you. He wants you to be grounded in that and stand in that. And then it will encourage you to be watchful and to have hope. And we also have Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God, amen. So faith will come by hearing. And remember that the word of God never returns void. And that's why I always encourage, I was just talking to the kids in Sunday school this morning, telling them, even if you don't understand what's going on, if you don't understand the Old Testament and some scriptures that you're going over, keep reading. Keep on reading it. I'm sure we've all been there at one point or another where we're reading through something, and then you get to the end of a chapter or paragraph, and you're like, what was that? What's even going on here? You read it again, and you're like, okay, Lord, well, I'm going to trust your word. I might not understand it at this moment in time, but that doesn't mean it's not true. Just because I can't comprehend it or pick it up at the moment, keep reading the scriptures. The faith will cometh by hearing, and the more that you're in the Bible, the King James 1611 Holy Bible, the scriptures, the infallible, perfect, preserved, and holy word of God, the more you're in that, the more it will help your faith, and it should strengthen you. Amen? If y'all want to turn to Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. Isaiah 55, 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. As we were talked about before, it should strengthen your faith, right? As I've mentioned before, you know, I came through the conspiracy rabbit holes of finding the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, even when I was in Roman Catholicism as a kid, you know, I was still going to church, and, you know, I did the whole, you know, baptism, communion, confirmation. By the time I got old enough, my parents said, you could do what you want. I dipped out of there. I had nothing holding me there. But all that scripture that I was hearing while I was there, I believe that was something that was even though I didn't pick it up, I didn't understand it. When I started looking for the truth in this lost world, I saw that this world goes completely opposite to the Word of God. Right, so even as a kid, I'm hearing the scriptures. I start to go back to it. I'm like, well, if there's an evil and a complete 100% wickedness and darkness in this world, there's got to be an opposite. There's got to be God. I mean, when you start looking into things, and that's the route that I went. The word of God will never come back void, right? And I mean, it's when you start looking at statistics of things, it is mathematically impossible. Let me tell you something. The odds of winning the lottery, 1 in 292.2 million. That's just the odds of winning the lottery, right? That's I'm not a gambler. I don't do that. But a lot of people, they like to go for it. That 1 in 292 million odds of you winning the lottery. The odds of one man fulfilling just 8 prophecies is 1 in 100 quadrillion. That is 10 to the 17th power. One man just fulfilling 8 prophecies, right? Jesus Christ fulfilled over 300. Math, I'm getting goosebumps saying that. Mathematically impossible. When you look at the statistics and the odds, right? Jesus Christ fulfilled over 300 prophecies. And you say, how can that happen? How can one man do that? Well, that should strengthen your faith that there is something different with the Lord Jesus Christ than every other false religion, false prophet out there. There's something different with the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Prophecies are being fulfilled today. Now, note that we are, understand this, where right division tides in, we are not in the Great Tribulation. If you think a little bit high gas prices and, you know, some food going up a little bit in price, if you think that's Great Tribulation, you got another thing coming. I'm telling you, this is nothing compared to the Great Tribulation. What we're going through now, I see that online a lot. People all, you know, and it's again, it's from not rightly dividing, right? People, they're going to run to, well, you know, you see the wars and the rumors of wars and the famines and the scamdemic and the pestilence. And again, that's biblical things that will be coming to pass, but you can't put yourself, you can't misapply scripture, right? So a lot of people will run to that, and then people are starting to think we're in tribulation in Daniel 70th week. But that is that's the future. That's for what's to come, right? That's why it's important we rightly divide Scripture. If y'all want to turn to Revelation chapter 13, we're going to be going over verses 7 to 8. There's some, you know, there's always current events that tie back to the Scriptures, that tie back to showing that the stage is being set for what's to come. Revelation chapter 13, verses 7 to 8. So again, Revelation, that's going to be things to come. Revelation chapter 13, verses 7 and 8. And this specifically, the rise of globalism, right? The mark of the beast coming in. Now, again, obviously that's not here yet, but we can see that the stage is being set. This is why every current event that's going on today, put it through the lens of Scripture, and you can see that things are ramping up to get to that point, right? So, yeah, the mark isn't here yet. I don't believe that it is. Some people were saying back in the day that it was the Social Security cards. And then people were saying your Social Security number, and then the people saying that it was in the jab and everything that got pushed in 2019. I believe that, when you rightly divide Scripture, you understand that there are different things, different time periods. I do not believe that the mark of the beast is here today, because I believe that we will be raptured out before that all comes to fruition. Revelation chapter 13, verses 7 and 8. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth, and shall worship him, whose name are not written in the books Lamb of Life, of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. We see everything going on in global politics, finances, the healthcare system. Everything is ramping up to, the real ID, right? You see everything that's going on. They're like, oh, well, now you have to have everything compiled, all your information compiled right here. There's a difference between your ID or getting the real ID. And then it's going to be under global control. Everything going today is leading to the mark of the beast, right? And we see that the walls are being built up, and everything, again, this is biblical, right? We see that people are having talks about the USA merging with Canada or purchasing Greenland. I just find it interesting. I mean, if that were to come to pass, what would you have to say then about Revelation 17:12 that mentions the 10 horns? Or the 10 kings. So when you start to see, if things are really shifting to go that way, you can see, well, that would be biblical, right? The 10 horns and the 10 kings in Revelation, that would be bringing in the mark of the beast system, right? No, that's conjecture. I know that's just talk. You know, who knows what's going to be happening? But we see the ball rolling. We see what can come to pass. The globalism that's going to be coming forth, we see that there's a one world currency, right? So we could see that going into crypto nowadays. We see the one world government, the United Nations, all coming together to basically be the one world government. We have the one world religion, right? We see people with Chrislam. People are trying to tie together two completely different religions, right? And to tie together Christianity and then also Islam and a bunch of other nonsense. And, oh, we could all coexist, right? They all actually contradict each other. Once you start looking into the false religions of the world, they can't work together. They cannot go together. So only the people that aren't studying out the Scriptures, they're going to think that sounds like a good idea. They're going to think that globalism sounds like a great idea. And, oh, hey, we should get all these things implemented so then we won't have to worry about illegals or anybody coming in. It would be good to have a mark. It would be good to have everybody, all their information in one place, and it's all showing the mark of the beast that would be to come to fruition. Right. So you got the digital IDs, the pay by palm with your hand. You already see that. Anybody see that in the stores yet? You see it in Amazon or where people are buying or go to the local food market. You know, they have a pay by palm technology. Oh, they can read your hand. This is amazing, right? Dude, it's going back. That's showing what's to come. It's already in the scriptures. It's interesting. People try to say, oh, well, you know, people are just manufacturing the Bible and they're just making you Christians look crazy. Bible prophecy fulfilled is still Bible prophecy fulfilled. Do you understand that they want the Antichrist to come too? They want to be at war with God. So when people say, oh, well, that's just them manufacturing prophecy to get you Christians in a stir and get you crazy, they want to bring forth the Word of God too, but the difference is they think that they're going to win. It's a spiritual battle, right? So regardless if it's quote-unquote manufactured or not, I believe it's God's prophecy showing us what's to come. You should be strengthened in that, just seeing what is over the horizon and that this world is going, they're going to try to come at war with God. If you want to turn to Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, we also see that in the end times, in the latter times, that travel and knowledge shall increase. Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. Even to the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased, right? So we see today's knowledge, obviously, it's with the iPhone, everything going on today. People have so much knowledge, yet it's like they don't apply it to their life. I'm convinced we're living in literally the dumbest generation nowadays. I see you guys shaking your heads. You can see it too. It's just so interesting. There's so much knowledge and so much at our fingertips, yet people are more disconnected from God than we've ever been before. And it's just interesting how that all pans out. But again, Daniel 12:4 is showing that, you know, knowledge and travel shall increase. You can get to and fro anywhere, right? And all, some people also say, well, that can be likened to in the Bible, right? You're going to and fro with pages. You're trying to figure out what's going on in the Word. Just know this, that knowledge is increasing and Bible knowledge is increasing. People are getting in the Scriptures. Right division, right? Having an understanding on what is directed to us today in this dispensation, that's a blessing, right? Not all of our forefathers had that knowledge and information. So again, as it comes into our path, what are you going to do with it, right? Are you going to take that knowledge and you're going to try to help others and uplift others and help them in their walk? Or are you going to hold on to that for yourself? Or do you not really know what you believe, so you're sort of standoffish? You have that knowledge. You know, God gave us a brain. We should be studying the Scriptures. We should be in that and encouraging prophecy that's going on, right? We should be able to expound and give an answer, right, for whenever somebody comes up to you. You should always be ready to give an answer, right? Amen. According to the Scriptures. We see scoffers and apostasy going all around, right? If you want to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 to 4, 2 Timothy 4, 3 to 4. Second Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall run away, they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. And again, this is where it all goes back. As the knowledge is increasing, so is the apostasy and the scoffers and people professing themselves to be wise, and they're becoming fools, right? That is, it's signs of the times that we're living in. People neglect the King James 1611 Holy Bible. They don't understand the majesty of this book. When you start getting into it, especially you start looking at the statistics, you look at the numbers, you see the prophecy being fulfilled, you study out the character of the Lord Jesus Christ and how much prophecy he alone fulfilled, that should strengthen your faith. When you look at this book, you understand it's far much more than just a couple pages, some wood, some leather, and ink. And when you start to see what this book really is, it is showing us what's to come. And it's a blessing to have, amen? It's a blessing to have and hold the Word of God. Now, something that is going on right here and right now, tension in the Middle East. That is at the head of every storyline, you know, the news. If you flip that on, if you check it out, even if you don't watch that, you see it on social media. If you go to Zechariah chapter 12, we're going to be looking at verses 2 and 3. Zechariah 12, 2, 3. You know, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of people are going to say, oh, you know, it's just Israel and, you know, everything going over. Why is there so much tension in the Middle East, Dan? Why is there so much people coming against this little spot over this little map? Why, like, there's nothing on this map. I mean, what, Israel, I think, is like the size of New Jersey or something like that. It's very small on the world stage, in the grand scheme of things. Why is this world focused in on this piece of land? Why is everybody in hot water and have tensions with Israel? Well, it's all biblical. Everything going back to, again, they're rejecting God's word, coming against God's people. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 2 to 3. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut to pieces. Though all the people of the earth gathered together against it. And again, as I was talking about before, there is just a huge uptick in anti-Semitism. And I know you guys have heard it before from Hoffman, and I believe and I accept what he's saying as well, as far as there is the real Jews and the fake Jews. The synagogue of Satan, the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, warns us that there will be fake Jews in those you know, in the day and age that we're living in, but also that have been before. Jews that profess themselves to be Jews but aren't. The synagogue of Satan. So look at it in this way. Because I used to, when going down the conspiracy rabbit holes, you start to see. Okay, you start to ask questions as far as who runs the porn industry, who runs Hollywood industry, who runs the satanic music industry, who's pushing the woke propaganda garbage on the youth to get them messed up, who's out here destroying families through all these different tentacles they have, who's funding the banker wars, right? Who's involved in adrenochrome and trafficking of children throughout the world? Who has been kicked out of 109 countries for crimes against humanity? There's one answer to all that, my friends. That is the synagogue of Satan. These people are fake Jews. And you got to be real with that, and you got to understand, because a lot of people are going to see, they're going to see all those that I listed and say, oh, well, those are Jewish people. Those are the Jews. So then they're going to look at the scriptures and be like, well, the Bible says that Jews are God's chosen people. So then they're going to couple together and say, well, God must be evil then, because how can God's chosen people, the Jews, be doing all this wicked stuff? It's deception. It gets people away from God, because then they're not reading the scriptures. They're not seeing that there's actually fake Jews in a synagogue of Satan. All they're seeing is the Star of Remphan posted next to someone's picture, and then they say, oh, well, he must be a Jew. He must be claim to be God's chosen person. Well, he's wicked. I'm not going to, obviously, whatever he has, I don't want that. And they go the opposite direction, right? So you got to keep in mind, as we're going to the scriptures again, that there there are things in God's word that he shows you that should help strengthen and build your faith through prophecy. And again, I bring all that up because there are fake Jews out there. There are fake, quote-unquote, chosen that are essentially the synagogue of Satan. They are children of Satan. And you got to watch out about that. Again, because as I brought up before, they're all going back to Israel, right? We see talks and tensions in the Middle East. We see talks about the third temple being built. We see talks about the Abraham Accords coming back, right? So they're getting people geared up, and they're putting that out in the media, right? The fake news propaganda. But they're putting that out there to run it across your path just to plant the seed, just to be like, okay, well, hey, keep your eyes over here on Israel. Oh, Israel's a big problem. We're going to have to watch out about that. Oh, the Abraham Accords are coming back. Oh, they got all those red heifers over there. Dude, everything is biblical. You should be looking at it through a biblical lens and seeing that God has warned us to show us of what's to come. That should help you to strengthen your faith in his word. Now, again, let's see. Well, prophecy should motivate holy living. If you want to turn to 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 2. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 2. Because it's easy to get caught up in the ways of the world and think everything's all doom and gloom and, oh, Dan, you know, you're just a Danny Downer. You're just always talking about bad things. I can't get behind that. Well, if you keep listening to what I'm saying, again, this should jump out at you. This should help strengthen your faith. But understanding prophecy, it should help you to motivate you to live holy, a holy, sanctified, separated life. 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 to 3, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure, right? So when you start to side with, when you make that choice, are you going to be siding with the ways of the world that's going contrary to the word of God, or do you want to draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ? Everyone has a choice. We all have free will choice whether you're going to go to the way of darkness or the way of the light, which is only found through the Lord Jesus Christ. Understanding Bible prophecy should make us bold in our witnessing. As I hit on before, when you start to see everything coming to fruition and the power and the majesty of the King James 1611 Holy Bible, when you understand that, that should make you more bold in your faith. That should make you, as everybody, you know, a prime example, as the 4th of July is coming up, I'm sure, you know, everyone's going to go about their way, and you're going to see family, right? You're going to get together with, most of the time, you know, lost family members, people of the world, friends, families, acquaintances. I can guarantee you, even if you sit back and just listen to the conversations that's going on, everything is almost going to go back to fear. And what do we do? And, oh, look at this. Dude, they're freaking out. They have no peace in their life. That's when you, my friends, should come in there and be a bold witness. And, hey, did you know this is actually prophetic? Actually, everything going on today goes back to the Holy Scriptures. Everything you're seeing in the news today is actually, it's already been written. And it's going to come to pass. And Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And that's a classic way to just slide that in there. Understanding Bible prophecy, it should make you bold in witnessing. If you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. 2 Corinthians 5:11 states, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. So again, it should help you to motivate holy living, right? Living for the Lord Jesus Christ in the day and age we're living in, having a good testimony before the lost world. It should help us to be bold, right? And then it should comfort us. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18, where that goes over the rapture of the church, right? We're looking forward to that blessed hope, right? And the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture also should comfort you. That's a good rapture verse, 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. That's the harpazo. That's the blessed hope. Amen. And what does it say in verse 18? Comfort one another. When you rely upon the scriptures, again, that should be comforting to you. You should take that. If the Lord has opened your eyes to these things, you should be able to go forward and comfort others by giving them the scriptures rightly divided, right? I mean, I knew when I started studying this thing out and I started seeing and I got comfort, I wanted to give that to other family members who were freaking out or losing their mind or splitting their wigs. I mean, classic example was during the scamdemic, a lot of people were freaking out, and I told them, hey, do you trusting upon the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you reading your Bible? Most of them, they look at me like I got three heads. Dan, no, I'm not reading the Bible. I'm worried about this and that and this and that. And it's like, dude, it's biblical. I'm telling you. And then slowly but surely, I had some family members come around, they started reading, and it actually helped to strengthen them in their faith, in their walk, and they came to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. We, having eyes to see and ears to hear in this day and age, we should help comfort others around us. Amen. So I encourage that on the 4th of July coming up. Just pay attention. Just listen to what people around you are talking about. And Lord willing, let the Lord lead, guide, and direct in all things. But then you can go forward and comfort others. And then also the last point here, understanding biblical prophecy. The prophecy should keep your eyes focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You go to Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 2. And we likely close it out here. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 2. Colossians 3:1-2 states, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, amen, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections not on things above, set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. We should be keeping our affections set upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand the prophecy. You pick up that God's word is to prepare us. He wants us to know the truth. He wants us to be grounded and rooted in His word. And once you start studying out the prophecy, the character of the Lord Jesus Christ, prophecy should motivate you to live holy, make us bold in witnessing. Prophecy should comfort us, and most importantly, keep our eyes set upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll close out in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for prophecy. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your holy scriptures that we can rely on, Lord. And I pray, Father God, you help us going forward just to give you glory in everything that we do and say. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.